were looking at in the SARs was the estimates for operating and support costs. These are the long-term lifecycle costs of a weapon system that occur after it's been fielded. They are such things as spare parts, fuel, maintenance, and personnel costs to maintain and operate those systems. They're a very large part of the total lifecycle cost of the weapon system. Historically, about 70% of all weapon system costs are linked to operating and support costs. About $132 billion annually are spent on these costs. So we were looking at the extent to which these cost reports provide consistent and reliable operating and support cost estimates to enable effective congressional oversight.
The report says that these cost reports are often, quote, inconsistent, sometimes unreliable, limiting visibility needed for effective oversight of these costs. It sounds to me like you're saying these reports, Congress, that you're being sent by the Pentagon aren't really doing you any good.
Well, yes, there's some significant issues. While there may be good information reported, let me just highlight the fact that these are critical to have good data, because the best chances for managing and reducing operating and support costs is early on in the acquisition process when key decisions are made. Decisions about the design, the materials to be used, and even the technology selected all can have long-lasting impacts on future operating and support costs. So what we found was essentially that in many cases, the data provided among weapon systems was inconsistent. For example, one of the areas we looked at was explanatory information about the cost estimates themselves. These are narratives that provide context and background for understanding report costs. But information provided in these narratives was often minimal, such as very limited information being provided on assumptions underlying the estimates. For example, we took a real deep look at 15 of the major weapon system programs that had estimate operating support cost estimates provided, and found that none of them provided assumptions on reliability and maintainability, which are key drivers in operating and support costs.
You write in this report, an Air Force program underreported ONS costs by $2.1 billion, or 18%. Is it your sense that some of that underreporting or misreporting, and when I say misreporting, I'm not implying any kind of misdoings,
right,
just not correctly reported. Is there any indication that any of that is directly related to this fact that these reports are inconsistent?
Well, I think it's an additional point. In addition to being inconsistent, in some cases, costs are just left out. Like, for example, in the Air Force training aircraft example you noted, what DOD did was exclude significant ground-based costs for that. Now, they have since corrected that and are now reporting them. But in some cases, we found where the program offices may have not reported certain cost information, either because they weren't responsible for that information or just didn't report it because it wasn't part of their direct responsibilities.
As Congress looks at these reports and tries to understand how they can use the information contained in them to do the oversight that they need to do, what are they finding as far – how is the way this information is being reported making their job more difficult?
Well, without clear information on the long-lasting impacts of some of these estimates, it's difficult for them to be able to know when trade-offs are being made, such as designs are changed out or materials are changed, what the implications are going to be for the operating and support costs. So as a result, they're unable to evaluate the full effects of decisions that are being made on these weapon systems early on.
All right, so you've got two main points in this report for the reasons that the DOD has the issues they have with these. One is detailed implementation guidance for reporting costs, and the second one, an effective process for reviewing the ONS cost sections of these reports before they hand them into Congress. What were the recommendations to try to deal with those?
Well, essentially what we're recommending on the first one is that DOD revise its guidance to the program offices to provide more specificity on what's supposed to be reported and how they're supposed to be reported, to ensure that the right information is reported and that it's consistently reported between weapon systems. We're also recommending that as DOD looks to revise this guidance, that it also incorporate best practices that we've identified and DOD itself has identified in the past, such as including major cost drivers in those estimates, and also discussing the frequency that cost estimates should be updated. Because one of the things we found with regard to frequency is that some DOD programs were updating the operating and support costs annually, while others hadn't reported them at all in the five-year period that we examined between 2005 and 2010.
Now, you mentioned that DOD has some of these best practices already available to them. Do you get a sense that they have not implemented them yet because they just haven't gotten around to it, or it has not been pointed out to them yet that this should be a priority, or any sense of why this has been an issue for them?
Well, it's difficult to tell. We didn't look into why exactly that was happening. I think a lot of it also goes to the fact of our second recommendation, which is looking at the review process. What we found is that DOD's review process, as it exists for these SAR reports, was not effective in identifying and correcting the inconsistencies and inaccuracies. So what we've done is we've recommended that DOD evaluate its review process to make sure it is in the best position to identify and correct any weaknesses with regards to the consistency and reliability of these estimates.
Now, would that dictate necessarily a uniform way of producing these reports, or just is guidance going to be sufficient, do you think, in recommending to the people completing these reports how they should be done?
Well, I think you have to couple the guidance with a robust review process. Both those have to be done. It's up to the department to determine how best to structure its reporting and review process, but it starts with great guidance. You got to have clear guidance to the program offices so they're clear as to what they're supposed to report, what costs they should include, and how they should include them year after year. And then the review process is then important to make sure that it's being followed consistently.
Where inside DOD should that come from?
Well, ultimately, again, it's up to the department to decide. I think it certainly within DOD headquarters, the Acquisition Technology and Logistics Director, would have a role within that process. But certainly it's up to DOD to determine where that's most effective.